Welcome to the Jones Zone, a podcast by Daryl and JJ Jones.
This is part three, where Daryl and Carrie discuss city events in Brea, such as the Pet Expo and the Brea Fest, and what resources the city provides for its residents. Make sure to watch part one and two to find out what a community service director does and what new developments are happening in your city of Brea.
What about events? Brea just seems, I don't want to say notorious, that's in a good way, for it's got so many great events. I talked about the Pet Expo. Tell us more about what events go on throughout the year in the city of Brea.
Yeah, we have a great special events teams that for so long have offered so much to Brea. We have, like what we had mentioned before, in the community center, we offer the craft boutique. So that typically happens in spring and in the winter, the spring craft boutique and the Nutcracker boutique.
And that seems to be just getting more and more popular. I've gone to that a few times. It just seems like the crowd is increasing. But I'm sorry, go ahead. That's a popular one.
It's a popular one. There's typically over 250 vendors. You know, can you imagine, like, inside and outside in the community center that have a variety of different things that are handmade. And, you know, these are a lot of times people's not their full-time job, right? They're doing a little side kind of a hustle. So it's like they're able to kind of showcase that, and they enjoy, you know, it's like a passion, right? And so we're just super proud that we're still able to offer something like that in a place for them to have kind of like, you know, a marketplace, if you will, right? That has very, very similar a shopping experience, if you will, you know. So but really giving these makers, you know, abilities to have a storefront too. So that's always good. We also have, like you mentioned, our Pet Expo in the spring, which is always exciting. And through the years, I think that has grown, and Kristen Steierman and her team have just done a remarkable job of, like, focusing not only on just different products for our pets, but also our services, but also with pet adoptions, right? Getting different types of dog and cat breeds, you know, to come and showcase their, you know, and then people often are looking for pets and they don't know, they're not quite sure. So families will bring, they'll come and they'll say, hey, you know, is this kind of a dog conducive to our living? You know, it's kind of an educational thing too.
Well, those Pet Expo was fantastic. I've been there many, many times, and it is really cool. They've got a lot of things. It's just, anybody that loves animals, go and check that thing out. That's phenomenal. What? That's April or May?
It's typically in April. Yes.
April. Okay. Forgive me. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And then we obviously hit it really big in summer, right? We have, like, we sprinkle in throughout the year. We have Movies Under the Stars. We had Family Films.
Movie Under the Stars. That's at Aravista Park?
We actually marketed it different because we had it here at the Civic and Cultural Center. So on the steps there, out by the plaza area at the Civic and Cultural Center, we'll put up a big movie for folks to come and watch. Family Films was kind of our dedicated summer series that we had at Aravista. But because we had the construction going on, we kind of had to move it, right? And eventually we'll bring that back there because we'll have a nice outdoor space now. So we're hoping to bring Family Films back to Aravista once the park is complete. I said about summertime, we kind of shift into our great country fair. It's always a favorite in the community because it's kind of like your old town. They've got their pie eating contest, the dog, you know, kind of pageant, if you will. It's just hula hoop contests for the community. A lot of people from our community, like I would say, like the sports groups or our nonprofits, right, will come together and sell different items, you know, to kind of, you know, help and create this country fair type festival atmosphere.
I know the history of that. I used to go to that in the 70s and probably the late 60s when I was a kid. They actually had a parade going down Brea Boulevard from Imperial to, I guess, Alder, I don't know, towards Fullerton.
Elm?
Yeah, well, past Elm.
Oh, past Elm.
Yeah, even past Elm. It was a parade. And then I remember they had it at the Plunge, and which is where I think it is now most of the time, right?
Yeah,
the
City
Plunge,
Hall Park.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they used to have it at the old high school off of State College, and this was a carnival. They had rides, and they had, you know, just the tattoo man and the bearded woman. And I mean, I'm talking about old school. It was an interesting time. But and I remember going there as a kid solo, meaning I'd just go there with my brothers and we wouldn't be supervised. I can't believe my parents did that. But anyway, that has been around forever. Forgive me. So that's a great event. They don't have rides. Do they have rides there still?
No, we have kiddie, like a kid area, a kid zone, we call it. So that will be a lot of the inflatables, like the slides, you know, but just different face painting activities. I think they usually, Kristen does like a petting area, petting zoo area. There's just a lot of fun activities for the kids. But then also too, we have like the main gazebo has like a band, right? That provides the background music. We have a car show usually that the Bray Museum will host right there on the street, right by the plunge. And then we have a marketplace. There's so much going on. There's like games. It's great. It's such a big thing, I think, for the 4th of July, just celebrating, you know, being so patriotic and everything. It's just such a, I think a definite, like you said, if you remember it as a kid, you've probably seen it evolve a little bit, obviously, but it's definitely kind of a hometown favorite that we hear.
It's just one day? It's just on the 4th of July?
Yeah, it's one day. It usually starts with a pancake breakfast. You know, I believe it's our Kiwanis Club. So it's like, yeah, it's everyone comes out and gets involved, which is great. It's so cool to see, you know, that you have so many community members involved and lots of time you see people, neighbors meeting neighbors out there, right? And catching up, you know, what's your summer plans? It's really cool.
And then you have bands. I think you mentioned there's bands there. Mm-hmm. But then are there bands still now during the year for another thing? What's that called?
The Concerts in the Park.
Oh, the Concerts in the Park.
Yeah. So we still offer our Concerts in the Park. So after July 4th, the Country Fair, that following Wednesday marks the start of our summer concert series, which is Concerts in the Park. And we typically have that at City Hall Park, and we offer it free to the community. And yeah, it's a great time, you know, all the way from country music to different genres of music. You know,
I thought you said you had the Led Zeppelin was there just a couple years ago. I remember watching this. I'm just being silly. Okay. But you do have good bands, I have to tell you.
Yeah. And our theater department are the ones that come up with that lineup. They do a great job every year. So yeah, it's always a crowd favorite. Everyone has a great time. And it's, to me, when I think of summer, I always think of summer concerts and also too, they'll have like swimming in the plunge, you know, during that time. So that's another thing I forgot to say. I think there's free swim at the plunge during Country Fair too. So there's something for everybody, really.
Oh, I remember that plunge as a kid. That was a great place too. After the Concerts of the Park, is it fair to say that Brea Fest is kind of the next big event?
Yeah, because you'll have Country Fair and then concerts kind of going in between, and then we kind of finish the summer with Brea Fest, and that's our spectacular where we highlight the arts right in Brea. But we're super lucky that we're able to get restaurant participation that will donate their time and their money to provide a taste for people. So that patrons can come and purchase tickets for a tasting. And then what we do is we have the gallery open, you know, with some activities that would showcase their current exhibit that they have up. You can go into the theater and sometimes they've had dueling pianos, you know, like different types of offerings in the theater. And then you have like your marketplace. You've got the bands, of course, which are the highlight. There's two bands usually on the different side. There's one on Randolph there, and then there's one in the main area on the plaza level. So everything is just elevated and activated that during that night, and it's just such a great feel.
Great band last year. Yes. I was there. It was fantastic.
And you're usually there too to always support our community. So, but a really good time. Like I said, it's like summer is kind of big. They touch base, neighbors and residents touch base at the 4th of July, and we'll see you at Brea Fest, you know, and kind of marks a little bit of the inclusion of summer.
So. It's packed. It's usually packed.
Yes. Yeah.
There's so much good food there. And then, yes. You know, you mentioned the cultural arts. What's the theater called? Darn it.
Our Curtis Theater.
Curtis Theater. Yeah. Curtis Theater. Is that under your purview? That's something? Yeah. Tell us more about that.
Community Services oversees our cultural arts program. So that's the hat that I wore previously before becoming a director, but overseeing the cultural arts programs and the Curtis Theater is one. It's our 199-seat theater performing arts venue. And I told you that that's the group that coordinates the Concerts in the Park series, right? They curate those bands. And then they offer in the space, we offer a full season. You know, we offer a season of different performances ranging from like musicals, you know, all the way to just different offering, different genres. They've just done such a great job over the years of providing and partnering with the right people. They also coordinate the very, very popular youth theater program, right? You get 200 plus kids, youth that participate in a production twice a year. They have two times a year that they have a production that the youth theater that we partner with Stage Light Productions and then showcase this amazing musical and that involves also parent involvement, right? So there's a cross between our kids are performing, but then the parents are volunteering. You know, it's truly it takes a lot to create that production.
They also have plays from outside producers?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so we partner with Southgate Productions right now to provide typically... right now is a musical called, it's the Carol King Beautiful. What we do is we partner with this production company and they do a call out for actors and actresses to audition for roles in this musical. So you're getting a draw for so many people in so many different areas, right? To come and be in this play. It's what we like to call local theater, right? We're showcasing a lot of the local actors and actresses. So it's just grown through the years. We really have done a great job of, we kind of went away from it and just did a lot of guest artists, what we call it, right? To feature, which are still a big part, you know, of what we do, but it's also, showcasing and giving local actors and actresses an opportunity to be on stage, right? So we offer that as well. It's been very successful. Very successful. And actually, Beautiful Carol King is sold out. It is sold out for all of the performances running probably for 3 consecutive weekends. So it is sold out.
Well, Carol King is a phenomenal artist. She's got some of the best music around. It's Carol King, the singer, right? The songwriter?
Yes, songwriter. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Songwriter. Right. Yes. Yes. Okay. It's just great to see. When you're in the Curtis, there's not a bad seat. It's 199 seats. Oh. Just like you can see every bit of the expression from people. So it's live theater is just, it's amazing. I can't even describe into words, you know, it's exactly the joy that I need actually right now. You know, everything that's going on in the world, it's like you go to like a live theater performance, you're just like, wow, you can appreciate that. So
I have a good friend of mine that I've known for years that he's an actor and we just saw him in South Coast in at a play. And you're right. It is, if any of those of you that haven't seen a live play, it's really a lot of fun. I'm not talking about the ones in high school. Those were fun too, but I'm talking about one with, I guess, more professional actors. It is a great experience.
It is. And it's right here in your own backyard if you're in Brea, right? You don't have to go far and it's very affordable, you know, too. And it's just good quality shows. Right across the way in the plaza there for the theater is the gallery. And it's our art space that we have. It's a visual art space that offers about 4 different exhibits that they do a year. And what I wanted to make mention, Daryl, is that actually summer of this year, our Art and Public Places program will be celebrating 50 years in Brea. So they're dedicating a special art exhibit that will be taking place in the summer that will highlight a lot of the Art and Public Places sculptures. You know how you see the art throughout the city? That's over 185 probably sculptures that we have in our city that are privately owned primarily. But I think what the goal of this exhibit would be to maybe look and seek some of those artists that have their sculptures in place. But what else do they do, right? They created an amazing sculpture for Brea, but what type of other art are they working on? So maybe that would be something that we would have an exhibit to kind of showcase. Have you been to the gallery? You need to
go. I have. Yeah, I have.
It's a very, very nice contemporary space that just showcases so much. We're super proud of both of those spaces. They've worked so well together, you know, to create this really phenomenal art experience that's just right here, you know?
In the Civic Center, right next to the library. The library, mm-hmm. Is it called the Brea Library? It's the Brea Library, That Brea Library, you know, it used to be by off Brea Boulevard. It used to be this small little room. I loved going there when I was a first grader. But it was this small little room, and now it's this enormous, beautiful library.
And it was never – so it was off Brea Boulevard, you said?
I'm talking about, oh, gosh, how old am I? 50 years ago. Yeah, it was in Brea Boulevard next to what used to be Ray's Market. By Winchell's Donuts used to be where there's another donut place still there.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm pretty sure maybe it wasn't the Brea Library. It was a library. I don't know. We can fact check this, somebody, and find out. But anyway, it's a beautiful library now.
Yeah, it's very nice. That whole plaza level is really nice with the gallery, the theater. You know, you've got the public library, and then our resource centers in that area too. So it's, and then the city council chambers. You know, all that stuff is right there on plaza. People need to understand that. You know, when you like people like you that grow up here. That you guys are always coming back, and that's such a it's like a huge indicator, right? That we're doing something right here, you know.
Should I do because we're not, this is being edited out? Should I talk about the resources and then end it up with that asking you? Okay, so Carrie, tell them what resources does the city provide? I mean, you've gone over so much. Don't get me wrong, but what other resources have we not maybe talked about?
So under, I mentioned human services, right? That was the senior center component or senior services. We also have the resource center, and that's actually located right by on plaza level here at the Civic and Cultural Center near the theater and the gallery. And it actually for many years when the community center was opened, it actually lived there first, but we've actually since then moved it to the Civic and Cultural Center for more visibility and access for the public. The Resource Center is actually the hub for so many things, and it's really about think about the families or individuals in our city that are experiencing, you know, an emergency or a crisis, right? If someone, say, loses their job, right? They can come to the resource center and we can evaluate, okay, what is your need? You know, give you some resources of things that we can connect you with. A lot of this thing in social services that we're hearing about is like, oh, like we can connect you with, but we can just give you this number, call this number, right? We actually have person-to-person contacts with these outside agencies that we've developed relationships with. And so rather than just give you a number, we can say, no, you can contact Cindy with social services here. They should, you know, she should help you. If not, you give us a call, you know, let us know how's it going and so forth. It's just a very special place that I think that it mimics a lot of what the county offers in Santa Ana. So if you have to go to some of those services there, you're gonna have to wait 2, 3, 4 hours just to get an answer to a question, where the resource center staff has done a great job of bringing those services from the county to Brea. So we actually have an office space dedicated for someone to come at least once a month, and people can make appointments and ask their questions. They can fill out paperwork. They can have someone look through it before sending it in. The services like CalFresh.
What's CalFresh?
Well, CalFresh is like kind of like the ability to get monies for food, right? They call it EBT, right? That type of thing. They used to call it food stamps, but it's a CalFresh program. So you're able to qualify for certain things like that, you know? And rather than going to Santa Ana or the county for it, you can do that here in Brea at the Resource Center. Also, too, we know that mental health is important, right? And taking care of ourselves is important. So we have affordable counseling that we offer too, that the Resource Center oversees. And how we're able to achieve this very affordable counseling is that we partner with students that are going through their master's in family therapy, their MFT, and they're completing their clinical hours, right? And so we have a full-time clinician, a licensed clinician that oversees these trainees, we call them. And so they work with the clients case by case to see, okay, what are they talking about? And kind of that's how they complete their clinic hours, right? And to kind of be certified and to go through their master's program. So we're able to offer very, very affordable rates for counseling. Where in the private sector, you can go well over $100, $150, $200 for an hour, where if you qualify on a sliding scale, you can even get an appointment or a counseling session for $25 or $30 an hour. So talk about a huge benefit for people that's available to them. And it's private. It's, you know, it's It's not like we're going to put you in another building and then you're going to feel a little off. Like it's very much part of the center here, right? You can come to the library, you can come to the resource center. It just doesn't make you feel any different. So folks that are veterans that are trying to navigate through the crazy process of getting their benefits, we have a veteran services officer that is there, you know, that you can make appointments to come and see. And again, look through your paperwork, you know, and kind of guide you through. There's just a lot of different things. But I think it's so important, right? We talk about all this stuff in community services that we're offering for a multitude of people, but it's also when life is not good too, right? When it's challenging and we need resources that you have a place to go and it's safe and it's private. So that's something that we're really proud of.
Carrie, this has been phenomenal. Some great information. Do you have anything you want to end with? What do you wish more residents knew about the Community Services Department and how it benefits them? I mean, you've given us a tremendous amount, but have we left off anything?
We have, but you know, I know this is a timed, there's so many things to talk about, right? But I think we covered so much, but I just think that if our residents in Brea, it's such a special place that I think that the people working here really care. And I mean that because they take pride in the work that they do. They really care thoughtfully. It's purposeful about what we do and what we offer. We want to hear the feedback as well about how to get better because we know the landscape or even our demographics changing in Brea. So I think we're always open to that. But I just think that it's so telling that so many people that grow up here and, you know, like for you to still even give back to the community, like that says so much. And not only you, but I know we have even someone like Jasmine Cerna, she started in the Tiny Tots program, you know, and then now is working full time overseeing our after school program and our day camp program. And so, you know, that's just to me, those are the kind of stories. That's just one of many. But those are just the kind of stories that really are telling that people are coming back and they want to give back. And I think the people working here just really care. And, you know, we take pride in what we do. So I just want people to understand that it's like we do such a great job. You know, we have a lot of these services, but I think it's really people really like genuinely care. So
yeah, I think it's obviously a great city too. And one of the things I think that makes it so tight is that we have, and this kind of sounds off topic, but we just have one high school, one junior high in all these schools. So everybody that goes in Brea, lives in Brea, they all eventually meet each other, I guess, as kids, and they grow up together. I mean, I'm still friends with kids that I, you know, met 50 years ago. So it does provide for kind of a unique experience opposed to a lot of different other cities. I couldn't agree with you more. Now let's end it with this. If people want to find out more about things that we've talked about, is there a website to go to, a phone mm-hmm. number to call, or how would they go about doing that?
In the different programs and services that I mentioned earlier, you're going to have your, you know, certain people that you would contact. But if you want to get a good general wealth of information, it's going to be on our website, right? We have, it's going to be cityofbrea.gov, G-O-V.
Cityofbrea.gov. Yes. Okay.
And so then there's going to be a community services portion on there that could be accessed.
You've knocked this out of the park with your specialty. Seriously, this has been great. You've covered so much. Carrie, thank you so much for joining us for this. And mm-hmm. I sincerely, you've been a wealth of information for people. And God bless what you're doing for this city. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm sure I'll see you soon at one of these events. Take care now.
Thank you so much for having me, Daryl.
See ya.